The Champions League has delivered so much late action once again. Paris Saint-Germain broke to win Barcelona with moments to play. Eric Dier won and scored a penalty at the death to earn Monaco a draw with Manchester City. Villarreal needed their own 90th minute drama. Newcastle, Arsenal and Carabao all claimed wins, while Rasmus Højlund and Kevin De Bruyne may be Napoli's new star pairing. Let's get into it and review Match Day 2 Wednesday in the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, joined by European football expert Kevin Hatchard and match commentator Joe Shenan. We'll be seeing the players doing their interviews right now of Paris Saint-Germain after their late win, Joe.
And an extraordinary night of football in Barcelona. Two sides full of quality, full of winning and attacking intent in a special atmosphere at the Estadi Olympique Luis Companys. It's a game that had plenty, just about everything. And we're only into match day two of the league phase, so loved it.
And the other games matched up to it, Kev?
Yeah, classic night of Champions League action, because we had some great stories. Karabakh winning, which we'll talk about. Thought that was a phenomenal result for them. We had great comebacks. We had teams that looked as though they were out of matches and suddenly found a way to hit back. We had some phenomenal goals as well, standard of some of the strikes. So yeah, everywhere you look, stories, goals, comebacks, great stuff.
Let's do the scores then. Union Saint-Gilloise 0, Newcastle United 4, Carabao 2, Copenhagen 0, Barcelona 1, Paris Saint-Germain 2, more on that in a moment, Arsenal 2, Olympiacos 0, Leverkusen 1, PSV Eindhoven 1, Villarreal 2, Juventus 2, Napoli 2, Sporting 1, Monaco 2, Manchester City 2, and Borussia Dortmund 4, Athletic Club 1. Well, let's start then with that game at Barcelona. Kevin, Joe were watching as the defending champions, Paris Saint-Germain, took on Hansi Flick's side.
Forward to Yamal. So much anticipation whenever he gets the ball, and it's a brilliant pass through for Ferran Torres, round the keeper, and what a clearance off the line by Zabanyi. That's brilliant football all round. The most elegant of passes from Yamal. As Yamal wins it back for Barcelona, midway into opposition territory. Down the middle is Pedri, out to the left is Rashford. Early ball to Ferran Torres! Dream goal! What a move! And what a finish! Barcelona 1, Paris Saint-Germain 0. And a goal to light up match day 2. A chance here for Paris and they equalise! Seni Mayulu is there to roll it home from right on the edge of the penalty area. And Mayulu keeps his composure to draw Paris level. And it's game on. Ferran Torres with a low ball in, away by Zabanyi. Dani Olmo off the line, what a clearance! Now Yamal, and it's turned behind again. Unbelievable defending.
So Zabanyi clears the first one, the low ball across the face of goal, and then Hakimi races back to block the goal-bound effort. But the funny thing is, if it had missed Hakimi, it would have hit Zabanyi again. Brilliant defending.
Here is an opportunity for Kangin Lee into the penalty area now. Left-footed shot! Hits the post! His footwork was so nimble, and the striker goal had just about everything, but it's hit the base of the post and come out again. Hakimi's over halfway, surging down the near side the right. Great first touch, early ball into the penalty area. Ramos has turned it in! Can you believe it? The European champion strike right at the end!
They did it. Incredible drama. Paris Saint-Germain making it two wins from two in the UEFA Champions League. Joe, we came into the game knowing that Désiré Doué, Kvisha Kvaratskhelia, the Ballon d'Or winner Ousmane Dembélé were missing. Rafinha and Lewandowski not in the starting 11 tonight for Barcelona. But all these other star attacking characters came to the fore to put on a show.
It was tremendous, and you have to credit many of the young players across both sides, the quality of academy products now at Paris Saint-Germain is up there with the best in Europe, and we know that Barcelona have got a wonderful tradition of bringing through young players. But it felt like a knockout game, and it felt like a match where, even though both sides, as you say, were missing key players, those who replaced them came in and stepped up seamlessly into the action. It was a match where both teams wanted to win, no question about it. The intensity was there, the energy was there, The work on and off the ball was there for both sides, and it was an incredibly difficult game to call in terms of you could almost have flipped a coin to pick a winner right at the very end. In the end, Paris with that wonderful moment right at the end. Hakimi plays the early ball in. Tremendous finish by Gonçalo Ramos. But there were so many little subplots in the match, individual battles, watching the head coaches on the touchline, seeing how the tactical battle unfolded as it went on. You couldn't really separate them. In the end, Ramos does enough with that finish, but it's the sort of game that was a pleasure to watch, and it's exactly why the league phase is so exciting, because you get 2 weeks in and you get a game between two teams with that kind of quality.
And Paris kept turning to that quality. I mean, even think of Lee's effort against the post, Kev. It was such a tight game, but Paris were finishing the match so strongly. And if I think of the kind of final 10 minutes of the 90 to go get that goal.
Yeah, they really went for it. I thought what was really interesting was I thought Barcelona were the better team in the first half hour. The goal that they score is top quality, because Vitinha loses the ball in midfield, and I love the way he played after this, because he showed real personality and bravery to keep on wanting the ball, keep on playing in tight spaces. But he does lose the ball, and once he loses it, they just bang, 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 they're through, and they score a brilliant goal, because Pedri shifts it to Rashford. Rashford plays it first time, right-footed, across the face of goal.
Perfect.
Just made it look easy. It's so hard to do.
Yeah.
And then Ferran Torres has gambled that he's going to play that pass, and he's able to put it in. So that was a great goal. And then I thought Paris steadied latter part of that first half, and then they start to really turn it on in the first part of the second half. And then there's a bit of back and forth. Barcelona have the shot cleared off the line, which is a brilliant piece of defending by Zabani initially, because there's a low ball across the face of goal. He clears it, comes out. Dani Olmo strikes it. And then Hakimi, who was excellent in the second half, comes back and makes the block. The equaliser was outstanding, because he's taking a bit of a gamble, Luis Enrique, because he said, OK, what I want to do is I want to have as much pace in my forward line as I can. So he picks Ibrahim Mbaye, who's 17. He contributes to the goal because he finds Nuno Mendes, makes a really strong run, opens up a bit of space, finds Seni Maulu, scored in the Champions League final, and he shows great composure to finish. So that's already a tick against Luis Enrique, because he's played these kids and they've come up trumps for him. He threw on Gonçalo Ramos and took off Fabián Ruiz. He brought on Lucas Hernández, who's a left-back, so he could release Nuno Mendes higher up the pitch, and so he could deal with Yamal a bit better, because Nuno Mendes is on a yellow card. And then it ends up being Ramos who puts in the goal at the end, after a great break that involves Hakimi. So it was a reward for real bravery from an away coach, because Hansi Flick went for it as well, make no mistake. Both of them wanted to win it. But for an away coach with a few players out to still say, do you know what, we're up against a really good team here, but I think I can win it, and then do it, is really quite special.
And Paris Saint-Germain remind everyone, Joe, why they're the European champions.
Well, it says everything that Hakimi created the goal, because just as Kev's been alluding to, Luis Enrique's side playing to their blueprint, even in the final minute or the start of stoppage time away at Barcelona, early on in the league phase, where many a team, perhaps most teams, would have decided that a point was perfectly acceptable as a result. And of course, it's never easy to get any kind of result in Barcelona. But you watch Hakimi dart forward for that winning goal, and he looks like he's barely broken sweat over the course of the game. He's got such an elegant stride about him. He's a wonderful technician with great vision. He's a brilliant athlete. He is the most complete fullback for me in European football. And Ramos didn't have a great deal of involvement in the game, having come on, but it's a sign of a good striker that he's able to tuck that away as neatly as he did.
The other thing about Ramos as well is that he would have looked at starting 11 and thought, oh, we've got all these attacking players out, and I thought I might have been in the starting 11, but he wasn't. And so he then has to come on and affect the game. And what I love is there was no sign of him being annoyed at not being the starting 11, no sign of thinking, well, I can't affect the game just coming on for the last few minutes. He was ready. He's absolutely ready. And that's what the best players do in those situations. And I think that's becoming more of a thing in football now, I think, especially at this level, closers. You might not start the game, but when you come on, I think you can win it for me. And he absolutely did that. And just to quickly build on Joe's point about Hakimi, what I love is his trajectory through the sport. Because when he was at Borussia Dortmund, he was this really attack-minded right-back. He had a brilliant click with Jadon Sancho. And he Bundesliga is quite transitional, so he can do that. Then he goes to Inter, and Antonio Conte says, you know, you're going to have to defend as well if you're going to play for me. So he learns all this stuff about defending, and he becomes this incredible two-way fullback. And then he comes to Paris, and Luis Enrique says to him, the defensive stuff's fine, but you can go and attack now. So he's had this amazing range of experiences, and he is a top player.
It's beautiful football that they play. You know, the philosophy is often talked about by many a head coach, many a manager, but the quality, the pace with which they play, the attacking intent no matter who they go up against, the trust in young players now, the trust in youth players, it's a very different philosophy from the approach that Paris Saint-Germain might have had a few years ago. But Luis Enrique really has taken them to the next level, and I think Kev made the point right at the top. They have the aura of European champions now, don't they? You can see that the experience of winning the title in Munich at the end of last season has just given them a next level of confidence as well. They carry themselves like European champions, and sometimes that makes it a level more difficult for the opposition as well. We know that Barcelona have got great players, they've got European champions in their squad, but Paris just at the moment seem to have that extra little bit that maybe makes them favourites to go on and win it again.
4 months on, we thought it was going to be the Champions League final. It was seconds away from being the Champions League final, wasn't it? But for Inter's late equaliser in the semi. 4 months on, we got it, and it was worth the wait. Barcelona 1, Paris Saint-Germain 2. Paris go to Leverkusen next on match day 3, and Barcelona will be at home again as they host Olympiacos. Kev, let's go to Monaco 2, Manchester City 2. City twice ahead through Erling Haaland goals on his 50th Champions League appearance. He's now on 52 Champions League goals after his lovely clip finish over the goalkeeper and his first half header. But they were paid back on both occasions. Jordan Taser's swept effort on 18 minutes. Top corner, great effort. And then the late penalty. What a moment for Eric Dier, having won the penalty, got the kick in the head from Nico Gonzalez, and then stepped up to take it.
He was brought in from Bayern for exactly this type of moment, when you need somebody with experience, personality, leadership. So to win that penalty and then say, right, I'm going to take this on my shoulders and take it and score it against one of the world's best goalkeepers is superb. And when you listen to people at Bayern who worked with him, they always talk about, yes, he's a good player, of course, but it's about organisation, leadership, leading by example. And he became low-key a really important member of that Bayern squad.
Interesting as well, prior to the penalty, as the VAR check was taking place, City's goalkeeping coach was working with Donnarumma. Hey, I think they were trying to work out who's going to take this and which side are they most likely to go. It didn't matter. Wonderful penalty from Dier. Quick one on Haaland, Kev. I mean,
was 15 goals, I think, for club and country now this season.
Yeah, and the record prior to, I mean, Haaland had already done this quicker than Van Nistelrooy. Van Nistelrooy was the previous record after 50 games, 43 goals. Haaland's got 9 more than that.
Yeah, I mean, the guy runs at a goal a game. And you're talking about being up there with the very best strikers who've played the game. Not just now, but have played the game full stop. And he's still so young. He's still got room to get better. He has signed this long contract with City. He's working with one of the world's best coaches. Everything's set up for him to keep doing this. So you have to hand it to him. And the other thing about him, the way he looks after himself, like he is on point all the time. And I think he's looked at guys like Lewandowski, Kane. The thing that links them all is they are so dedicated to the craft. And I would put him in that bracket.
Okay, let's go to Naples next, where Napoli have picked up a victory, having lost to City, of course, on match day one. They were without Di Lorenzo after his red card on match day one as well. But Twice they led, they got the 3 points. The first goal, extraordinary work by Kevin De Bruyne on the edge of his own box, worked to 1-2, galloped upfield and thread Rasmus Højlund to score. Luis Suarez levelled in the second half, the Sporting substitute with a penalty, but then De Bruyne and Højlund linked up again. De Bruyne left side of the box, right footed cross onto Hoyland's head. He got there ahead of Rui Silva, the goalkeeper. Let's hear from the man who got both goals about the man who set him up.
To play with a player like Kevin, it's very special. I've played with a lot of incredible players in Manchester United as well, but Kevin is an exceptional talent. He's won so much and he's a legend of the game. And for me, it's just about finding the spaces and then he will put the ball in the spaces just for me to run into him.
The fact these two are linking up, Kev, must be so satisfying for Antonio Conte, given they were kind of the two big signings in the summer.
Yeah, and I mean, De Bruyne is going to lift any team. Because you're talking about one of the greatest midfielders of the 21st century. And he's still got all of that awareness, all of that technical quality. The one I find really interesting is Højlund, because football's full of little sliding doors moments. And he suddenly got the opportunity because Lukaku's injured at the moment and he will come back, but at the moment he's not available. So that opens the door for Højlund to play up top for Napoli. He moves on from Manchester United. He wanted to fight for his place, but they've gone a different way. And that happens in football. So when that happens to you, you just have to get back up. And he's been given the platform to do that. And I really admire the way that he's played, because he's been making those runs time and time again, making a target for guys like De Bruyne and McTominay to find him, and he's scoring the goals. And he's done this in Italy before for Atalanta, and he seems at home really, really quickly.
Was pointing to the Champions League badge after both of his goals tonight, Rasmus Højlund. Napoli go to PSV Eindhoven next. We're going to talk about them shortly. While Sporting, after tonight's defeat, they beat Kaira Almaty on match day one, will host Marseille. Let's go to Spain. Villarreal, late leveller. They took the lead against Juventus, but they were pegged back by two swift goals in the second half. An extraordinary overhit kick from centre-back Federico Gatti to get the Bianconeri level. Wonderful goal, individual effort. He won the ball on the halfway line. Francisco Conceição dribbled all the way and got them ahead, but Renato Vega's header gets Villarreal their first point.
Yeah, really important for them, because it just maintains their home form as well. They've won every home game they've played in La Liga. Marcelino has done a terrific job with them, and it will just give them that little spark of confidence against a very good team.
Let's go to Arsenal next. They got goals in either half, one from Gabriel Martinelli, the other from substitute Bukayo Saka. They could have had more. Olympiacos did threaten at the other end, but a good result for Arsenal, and 2-0 wins yet to concede. Good start for them, Joe Shannon.
I think interesting to see the impact of Gabriel Martinelli early on in the Champions League phase. I think the depth that Arsenal have now got in the squad, the amount of money that they spent in the summer, has actually spurred on the Brazilian. And here he is suddenly a regular goal scorer, not just in the Champions League, but an important recent goal at home to Manchester City in the Premier League as well. Odegaard picked up a beautiful assist tonight for Saka. There was a lovely kind of slide rule pass, lovely weighted pass from Odegaard, who we all know is an incredibly cultured footballer and seems to be starting to find his rhythm again. Mikel Arteta often talks of fine margins in football, doesn't he? And there were certainly fine margins last season in that amazing semi-final against Paris. Arsenal had spells over the course of that two-legged tie where maybe all they needed was that killer touch in the final third. With the squad that they've assembled over the course of the summer, the likes of Gyökeres, Zubimendi, who's come into the team, Mosquera, who's a useful player, Eber Chiesa, who is loving life at the club that he supported when he was a boy. Arsenal and Arteta, I think, will quietly feel that not only can they go deep in UEFA Champions League again this season, they can be up there with the front runners to maybe go on and win it.
Do you think Odegaard's the one that makes the difference for them? They've got great players like Saka. Gyökeres has come in with a great record, but they don't really have a profile like him when he's not in the team. I think actually the win at Newcastle at the weekend's a great example of that, because he's the one that starts actually moving that block around and opening up those spaces. And I know they win from two set plays, but you have to win those set plays, and he was getting them up the pitch, getting them into those areas. I do think they are live contenders to win it. They got to the semi-finals. They lost to the eventual winners last season. But when you're as solid without the ball as they are, you're going to be in every game. Then it's about whether you can find the attacking quality to turn a tight game your way. But they aren't going to get hammered in too many games in this competition.
Let's hear from Mikel Arteta.
We predicted a very tough opponent. I think we started the game very, very good. I scored the goal, had some big chances that in the Champions League, you don't put them away. After you're going to suffer, and then we had a period in the game, we became a little bit open. We needed a big save from David in one action to keep the clean sheet. But overall, I credit to the boys the way we performed.
Yeah, that save, the save of the night perhaps in the Champions League to tonight. Daniel Podence on the volley, an incredible stop from Arsenal's number one. The Gunners host Atletico next, while Olympiacos, as we've already mentioned, go to Barcelona looking for their first victory. Dortmund 4, Athletic Club 1, Svensson, Chukwueze, Guirassy and Julian Brandt all on the score sheet. What will that mean for them, Kev?
Yes, happy place at the moment. They're winning games, they're scoring goals, they've only dropped 2 points in the Bundesliga this season, so they're not that far behind Bayern in the title race. Niko Kovac signed a long-term contract, so he's happy as coach, and they look like they're at peace with what they want to do, and it's just about maintaining that consistency. Karim Adeyemi looks sharp, and he's starting to get that consistency into his game. We've always known he's a mega talented player, and he said himself it's about just stringing together those performances one after the other. And with Guirassy, I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, but they talk about in Germany, they talk a lot about goal guarantees. I mean, he's absolutely a goal
guarantee. What's a goal guarantee?
Seri Guirassy, Harry Kane. You know, guys who you pretty much know.
I didn't know if it was some metric that had slipped me by.
No.
Right, that synonym.
Yeah. Perhaps a bit more poetically, Kovac calls him their life insurance policy, because even when it's not going well for them, he scored 2 goals and we've won the game.
It pays out. 16 goals in his first 20 Champions League appearances. Only Erling Haaland has scored more, although that number is 25 for Erling Haaland. Let's stay in Germany. Kev, Bayer Leverkusen 1, PSV Eindhoven 1. PSV getting the equaliser through Ismail Sabari's brilliant curled effort into the top corner with 18 minutes to play. Peter Bosz back facing his former club. I think he'll be happy with the point. But tell us about the man who got the opening goal for this kind of new Bayer Leverkusen.
Yeah, Christian Cufane, who's one of the strikers who's come in, and they've put together this squad of young players. They lost a lot of talent in the summer. They've had to rebuild. And he is their youngest ever goal scorer now in the Champions League. He's only just 19 years and 67 days. And he's got a real spark about him. He's got great movement. He's got speed. He was only in possibly because Patrick Schick was injured. But when you have those chances, you have to take them. And he's absolutely grasped that opportunity. I think we do need to give Leverkusen a fair bit of leeway, because they made a coaching change very, very early. Kasper Juhlmann's gone in there, and he's somebody that I think will settle them down. I think has got the man management skills to do that. I think he's got the tactical chops to do it as well, but it's going to take time. It's a lot of new players to bring in at once, and it's a lot of key players to lose in one summer, but they'll get there.
What a test for them. Match day 3 as they host 100% record Paris Saint-Germain. PSV Eindhoven will take on Napoli. Still to come on the show, we'll hear from one of Newcastle's star men.
Take control of your own team of stars with UEFA Champions League Fantasy Football, presented by PlayStation. With incredible prizes up for grabs every match day, download the official Champions League app to get playing.
Two early games in the UEFA Champions League. Union Saint-Gilloise, the Belgian side, hosted their first ever match in the competition proper, but they were beaten. They beat PSV, remember, on match day 1, but they lost 4-0 at the hands of Newcastle. How did the Magpies do it, Kev?
Well, they did it with a great opening goal from Nick Waltemade, who's really hit the ground running. We're talking about strikers a lot at the moment, and he was great for Stuttgart last season, and he's been scoring all types of goals for Newcastle, and it's a low ball that's fired in towards him, And he just, I mean, he's a big, tall guy, but he comes up with this amazing deft flick, which is why he's called the Volta Messi or the Swabian Ibrahimovic, whichever you prefer. And it was a lovely finish. And then Newcastle then put real pressure on Union Saint-Gilloise, won a couple of penalties, which were very, very well put away by Anthony Gordon. And then Harvey Barnes, who I always think is a real danger on the counter-attack. I think he's a really smart footballer, and he comes up with a great finish. I have to praise Newcastle a lot. This was not an easy game, because big moment for Union Saint-Gilloise, their first ever home game in the Champions League. I thought they were super against PSV on match day one. Newcastle haven't been getting the results that maybe their performances have deserved. So to go to Belgium and win 4-0, that's a real statement, I think.
Let's hear from the player of the match, Anthony Langer, speaking to our reporter, Elisa Saliou.
Anthony, congratulations. You've been voted player of the match. Can I just get your first emotions and your first thoughts?
Obviously, very, very happy. I thought we played really well as a team, both attacking and defensively. We just need to keep this going, because we've got a really good squad. And you see, even the people that come from the bench, they can make an impact and score. So it's really important to have that in a team. And I just hope we can just keep this going and build momentum.
So as you're describing it, it was really a team effort.
100%. It's always nice to get individual awards, but that's built from the team, and we showed that today, and let's just keep that going and score more goals.
The team also showed brilliant mentality, scoring 4 goals, but also even in stoppage time, still going for that fifth.
Exactly, that's what I meant about the depth of the team. We've got really good depth in the team, and it's important that we score goals, especially in this competition, because goal difference matters. So we just need to take it game by game and focus on the next game in the Premier League, and then come back from international. We've got Benfica to come in St. James's Park.
And how welcome was this win mentally for you guys?
It was important for us to start fast, and that's my mentality. My mentality is all about starting fast, and if I can infect that in the team, I think it's going to make us even better.
Yeah, he settled well, hasn't he? The summer signing from Nottingham Forest, Anthony Elanga speaking there. Meanwhile, Kev, Karabag, 2-2 after a 2-0 win against Copenhagen.
I love it, because it's a team that's worked so hard to get to this stage. Hurban Hurbanov, who's been, you know, in charge of them pretty much for a generation. He's been in charge for a long, long time. And he's been knocking on the door. They've kept faith and they've made it through. And having made it through, they've played with incredible quality. They were 2-0 down against Benfica in Lisbon, came back to win 3-2. They've won this game against Copenhagen 2-0. Now, at 1-0, Copenhagen hit the bar. So you could look at that and interpret as, you know, then they've gone up straight up the other end and scored the second goal. So maybe a bit fortunate. I don't see it that way, because it could have been 3 or 4 before then, because they were really dominant. They made lots of chances, played some excellent attacking football. I think they have genuine quality, and they've got 6 points in the bank now. Hurban Hurbanov talks about them representing Azerbaijan as a whole. And I think he's right. I think they've taken that responsibility on board. I look at the way that Kairat play, for example. It feels to me like they feel they're really representing Kazakhstan in the same way. And I do think that's important. And this is great, because this is the kind of thing we want to see in the league phase, that nice spread. And you're getting teams who win, lose or draw, and Karabakh are winning. They are giving absolutely everything. But in Karabakh's case, they're playing with real technical quality.
And they go to Athletic Club, who are yet to pick up a point on match day 3, while Copenhagen will host Borussia Dortmund. OK, let's turn things back to the late kickoffs and our main game, of course, a victory for Paris Saint-Germain. Let's hear from the man who decided it late in the game, Gonçalo Ramos.
We want to win everything again. It's our goal. We are not happy with what we did last season. We want more. That's our mentality. It doesn't matter who plays, who are here, who are at home. I know that everybody is supporting the team, even the players, the injured players, and that's our mentality.
Worrying for the rest of Europe that they're not happy with the treble, that they want that they want even more.
Yeah.
Joe, of course, you're on comms for the game. Who was the player of the match? Who stood out for you over the course of the match? Ramos came on late in the match to win it.
I think Nuno Mendes, possibly above all, if I was going to give it to one player. You could also make the case for Hakimi having just as influential, if not an even more influential role. But I just felt that Nuno Mendes showed how much of a constant threat he is, whether playing as a left fullback or in a left wing position supporting the rest of the front three. I thought he was tireless. I thought he was energetic, creative, against, let's not forget, one of the best teams in Europe. So Nuno Mendes for me.
He was the official UEFA player of the match as well. Kev, any other performance from the myriad of games? Could be team, player, anything you want. What stood out?
Eric Dier wins a penalty right at the end.
Love it.
Steps up, dusts himself down and whacks home the equaliser. So great personality from him, and Karabakh as well. Fly that flag for them because they were terrific.
Galatasaray be up there after beating Liverpool.
Absolutely.
That's a significant
performance
this week. But Rasmus Højlund, I think as well, seems to be reinventing himself back, obviously, in a country where he knows Serie A well, back in Italy. Antonio Conte has done this with a few players. Scott McTominay, Billy Gilmore seem to have elevated. Højlund has started really well, and what a leap that was. I think it was the second goal, was it, Rob, above,
above
the goalkeeper. He looks ready to go again. I think there'll be an interesting team to watch, Napoli.
Conte is a real striker whisperer. Think of what he did with Lukaku. Think of what he did with Lautaro.
Stop giving everyone nicknames, Kev.
There you go, you've got it. Striker whisperer.
Gents, what a night. Thank you very much for your company. That's all for match day two. I make it 62 goals scored across both nights of the competition. And right across the breadth of Europe, don't forget, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night in this season's competition. My thanks to Kevin and Joe, of course, for their company this evening. The show will be on air from 8:45 CEST on Tuesday, the 21st of October, as match day three gets underway, with updates on all the goals as they go in across the continent. But until then, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.